Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Start recording. Check it out. I love it when technology works. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Coaches Club call for Parent Success System on Thursday, January 22nd at 1 o'clock. This is Elaine, and today we are going to be talking about asking for help. And I just need to make sure one more thing, because they've now set it up. I want to make sure nobody else who comes in late will end up at a different place. So, y'all hang on. Bear with me one second. Okay, everybody, I'm going to make it work. tell me who's here. We have a new system that we're working with, so not everybody's names are in here, although it looks like everybody is. I see Julie. Who's from Louisville?
Jennifer.
Okay. And then Leslie and Coco.
Yep.
And Katie. Is that right?
It's actually Larry today, not Katie.
It's actually Larry. Hey, Larry. How are you?
How you doing, Elaine?
Good. Are you feeling well?
Yeah. You?
Yeah, I am. Okay, I got Coco, Jennifer. I got a take roll. I missed somebody. I got Coco, Jennifer, Katie, Leslie, and who did I miss?
Julie,
you're usually on a different group?
Yes, I usually am.
Okay, that's why I couldn't find you on the list. Got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone. Sorry for the little glitch. So today I just want to start with check-ins and see who's got something you want to celebrate to start off the year with something positive. What's been going on since you worked on curiosity, and does anybody have anything you want to share to celebrate or any challenges you want to identify? No celebrations?
This is Julie, and I'm normally with a younger group, so I apologize if I share younger stories, but my son, who's 10, he...
It's all good. This is a mixed group.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, good. My son, who's 10 last night, he said that sometimes people say he's bossy, and so he and I kind of worked out a plan of a strategy of how I was going to kind of quietly, secretly let him know when he's being bossy. We have a little code. So I'm going to test that out. I'm excited about it. I was proud of him for sort of doing some self-reflection that he doesn't normally do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about asking for help. What a perfect model.
Yes.
I love that. All right, cool. Who else? What are you celebrating? Come on, guys, you got something. Dig deep. It always helps when you find something they're doing well. It helps set you up for success for everything else.
This is Leslie.
Pat.
And my son, Patrick, is finally, he's 16, and he is doing a very good job now of, he's homeschooled, of getting himself up in the morning and getting to work. And that's been a complaint of mine for a lot of years.
I bet it has.
Yes.
I think it's hard for most of us to get ourselves up to work. That's great. So how have you acknowledged him for it?
Well, I tell him good job. I try to support him. He does go to a technical center in the afternoon, so but I probably need to work on, you know, celebrating the championing. What is it?
Championing is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So here's just where I want to point you is not just a champion, but to, you know, to help them see a success, but also to look for what's working in it. You know, remember that the solutions are always in the successes. So if he's getting himself up to do that, he's put some pieces in place that he can apply in other places.
Okay.
So if you begin to help him see not only that he's doing great, but what's he doing that's helping him be successful with it, then he'll begin to see, oh, I can apply that other places. You don't necessarily need to show him. He'll begin to see it, to map it. Right?
Okay, yeah.
So whether it's about, you know, finding his motivation or whatever it was that's helped him do it, help him get clear on what's helping him do it and that he's doing great and you're proud of him, right?
Okay, good, yeah.
Great. Anybody else? Success is large and small. But see, when you reach for it, look, it was right there in front of you, right? Larry?
Yeah, Lauren is 12 years old in sixth grade, and she was taking the test last week, or this week, actually, and she was having trouble on an essay question, and she raised her hand and brought the teacher over and talked to the teacher, and the teacher actually allowed her to draw a picture rather than to write the essay question, the answer to the essay question. So we were really happy that she was advocating for herself in the classroom.
Awesome. That's great. And she felt safe and comfortable doing it, and she got good response from the teacher.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Who else? Coco?
Well, my son is 15, and he's doing a much better job of taking care of his puppy. So, you know, the feeding and the walking, the daily thing.
Wow, that's hard to do, the daily thing.
Yes, it's
actually.
Very hard.
It really is.
So, you know,
so same question for you. How are you acknowledging him?
Every time he does that, I, you know, bring it up and I tell him how responsible he's being and how proud of him I am and how much his doggy's name is Otto. You know, Otto feels loved when he does that. So, I mean, maybe that's helping. I hadn't really reflected on that, but he's doing it more and more. So I'm really proud of him.
Great. So the other piece of that question is, how can you help him begin to see what is he doing that's helping him be successful with it? So, and here's what I'll offer for all of you, particularly with the older kids, but even with the younger kids, is praise to a point, but don't go overboard, if that makes sense, right? They want to hear good job, but that's it. They don't want a lot of effusive, I'm so proud of you, I can't believe, you know, like, because they're teenagers, and, you know, just a little bit goes a long way, right? And so, you know, at some point it may shift Coco from I'm so proud of you to Otto appreciates it, right? You know?
Right, yeah, I mixed it up.
Yeah, exactly. But help him see what he's like and ask him, you're doing such a great job with this. What do you think is helping you be so successful with it? Because as he begins to figure out what patterns work for him, and it may be he's just motivated because he loves the dog, right?
Yeah.
But help him begin to see, because people respond to motivation, to acknowledgement, to, you know, positive feedback. Maybe he set a timer for himself, whatever it is. Help him begin to see what he's used that's helped him be successful so he can apply it elsewhere.
Got it. Cool.
And someone else has joined us from Washington. Who's that?
This is Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie, how are you?
Okay, I had to switch times. Life is getting kind of crazy, so I couldn't do it in the morning.
Yeah, you know, you're not the only one who had to do that today. So welcome. We're glad you're here.
No, thank you.
And we're just, right now, we're doing celebrations.
Well, I can celebrate both of my kids' success in different areas. My 12-year-old, who's the more of the feistier one, decided, you know, we've been battling all the time. He always wants to do video games in the morning, so we just said, okay, I'm going to get up super early. I'm like, you have to get up very early on your own, independently, to do this. So he's decided, okay, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock. And you know what? He's getting up at 5 o'clock, taking a shower, doing everything, getting everything done, everything ready, eating breakfast, everything on his own. I don't even mention anything to him. And he gets himself going in the morning to doing all that, because I'm like, you know, it's not something I'm going to encourage. Oh, yeah, do video games, but I'm so proud of him. And I told him that. I'm like, I am amazed that you're doing all this on your own independently. And, yeah, he's doing a fabulous job just keeping himself on track doing that without medication, and that's one thing he doesn't want to do.
So what do you learn from that?
That he can do so. Well, of course, anyone with ADD, if there's something he wants to do, he can do on his own, independently, you know, of course, because that's his motivating thing, is to do those video games. But he can be independent.
There's a key word. I want you to hear the key word, and that was motivation. He's motivated to do it, and he can do it because he's got a motivation to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, who was never on time to anything in her whole life, is now half an hour early to everything.
Mm.
Because she finally figured out how much better it was for her when she wasn't stressed and late. And it was like, that was enough of a motivator. She's literally early to everything.
Yep.
So finding that motivation is really key. Cool. And you said you wanted to celebrate both kids. Was there another one?
I have a 15-year-old son who is, a while ago, this is the beginning of all the calls, he doesn't want to schedule, does not want to look at the schedule because he can't remember, then he feels bad if he can't look at it. So he's decided he's going to memorize everything he needs to do in the morning. And he's come a long, long way doing all that. You know, I'm going to get up, Mom, this is what I'm going to do, da, 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 da. So he's memorizing everything he needs to do in the morning to get out the door on his own without me saying anything. You know, some things he doesn't always remember, but for the most part, he's really come a long way, and he's doing it because he doesn't want to feel bad and stupid that he can't look at the list. He doesn't like looking at the list, and he feels bad if he doesn't remember the list. So he's like, I have to remember to do these things. So he's forcing himself to remember to do them on his own. Yeah.
So that's amazing and great to know that sheer determination can work for him, and he's counting on memory. And you may want to play a little bit with what is it about the list that's bothering him? Because something about it is making him feel less than. And if you can empower him to see the list as his tool instead of as a weakness, just think about that. I'm not sure there's an answer here, but I just want you to play with that, because that's what I'm hearing, is that he's made up that if he has to use a tool, then he's a failure somehow.
Yeah, and we have gone, my husband has ADD, so this is his brother, and we went over him, right, Mike, it's going to help you, but he's like, because I don't remember the list, and if I don't do everything on the list, because if he gets distracted or whatever, then he feels less of a person. Because I asked him, I said, what is it about the list? He's like, I feel stupid. He's a 4.0 student, and he does great in school. He has an incredible mind, but something so mundane as the list, he's like, it's stupid. Why do I need it? I should be able to remember all
this. I should be able to. So,
yes,
so let's come back to that. Let's
yes.
just sort of table that for a minute, because I think
okay.
it's a really important message that you're getting from him.
Okay.
And you may want to begin to look at, where does he see people he admires using lists?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say the curriculum outline at the beginning of a course, which
mm-hmm.
is a list of what we're going to cover this month or this semester,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you begin to show him how lists are used, not for him, but how others use them, that may
mm-hmm.
begin to help him see.
Mm-hmm.
But let's table it for a minute and come back to it. So
okay.
I want to encourage everybody to take aim today, and whether you want to take aim there or somewhere else, that's up to you, okay? But let's take a minute to identify what's the challenge you want to address and change over the next couple of weeks. What do you really want to focus on? And knowing that our topic is asking for help, it can be related to that if you want, or something different. But I want you to target where you want to see some change. What do you want to focus on? So, Coco, can we start with you?
Let me think. I think, well, going with the topic of asking for help, I think that would be a good place to go with my son. He's getting better at advocating for himself, but there's still situations that come up, especially with school, that it's difficult for him to speak up. And
I don't want you to use the topic today as your place to take aim unless you're really specific. So, like asking for help specifically for something, right? Where in particular do you want to help him see some change?
So I'm confused. So asking for help at school, and you want me to give you a specific example at school?
Yeah, like where in particular do you see his not asking for help really causing a problem?
Okay. Specifically with his issues with sensory and sound. So at school, he's in a special school, but during class time when he's with his teacher, there's a lot of loud, distracting noise coming from the central area of the school. So we have talked a lot about it, but the next step would be for him to talk to his teachers about it and talk to the principal about what can be done so that he would he can better focus in class. I don't know if that's making sense, but noises
it makes perfect
and talking.
Sense.
Okay.
But here's what I want to ask, because you're the one in this class, not him, right?
Okay.
So is what you want to, and it may be, is what you want to focus on helping him learn to advocate around this issue?
I believe
there's something else. Okay. No, I just want to be really clear, because the focus here is what are you going to do, not necessarily what he does or doesn't do, right? What do you want to see changed? And you want to see him take control of this and advocate for himself in this arena.
Okay, right. So you want,
is that correct?
You want me to take aim on what I'm going to do to help him do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's what you... I'm not being really clear. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm not understanding.
No, it's probably me. So I want to distinguish, and this is for everybody, because Diane and I were talking about it because she's seen it coming up in some of her groups. When we take aim, we want to take aim very specifically on something that we want to see changed, right? Often it's something with our kids. Sometimes it's something with ourselves. I had one woman on a call the other day who wanted to take aim on finding more leisure time for herself, right? So it's
okay.
Something you want to see changed. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the topic of the day, but it could.
Okay, and it doesn't have to be my son. It could be something for me. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Whatever you want to use this time to focus on to move something forward in your life. But it's change you want to see, because as you're beginning to tackle things one change at a time, it's lightening the load in lots of places of your life.
Okay,
does that
well
help
then
for everybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna
yeah.
let
okay.
everybody else go and keep thinking.
Fair. Okay, so I'm gonna move on to Leslie, can we go to you?
Yes. I am going to take aim on finishing up some things that I think will be very helpful to Patrick. Things concerning a nutritional doctor and I tend to, you know, I'm ADD myself, so I get halfway. I get 90%
yeah.
done.
I know. That last 10% is a kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, so that and the questionnaire is sitting here in front of me, and it's been sitting here like this for a couple of weeks, so that's going to take aim on that.
So you're going to finish the questionnaire and get him to this doctor.
Yes, and start this. He's not medicated right now. We run the gamut of medications, and They help in some areas and then create lots of problems in other areas. And so I really think that some functional type of medicine might help him. So.
Okay, so finishing the questionnaire and getting him started with a functional functional practitioner.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Great. Who's next? Jennifer?
So this, you want us to take aim on things that we are doing for ourselves, or as opposed to trying to get a change from our child, you're trying to get us to come up with taking aim in something that we ourselves are doing?
Not necessarily. What I really want you to be clear on is, as you come to each call, is what's something that's sort of nagging at me that I want to see changed? What? Because if I address this, things are going to be better. Because if you relieve the stress, whether it's something with him or something with her or something with yourself, as you begin to make changes, positive changes, in any aspect of your life, it's going to improve everything else. So if you're ADD adults yourselves, then sometimes managing yourself is going to help you manage your kids better, right?
Right.
And if it's not that, and it's like my kid is, it drives me crazy when she does this, then that's what we want to address.
Okay.
But I don't want you to feel like you have to take aim on something having to do with the topic.
Okay.
You to take aim on what you want to see changed.
Okay. Well, what I want to see changed is my son, who's 15, doing the chores that I'm asking him to do in a reasonable time period. He's gotten a lot better if I'm asking him to pick up after himself, as opposed, like, you know, shoes here or wrappers out or, you know, his dishes and stuff like that. But when I ask him to do something like clean your bathroom, and we've gone over enough times, he knows what steps that involves. And I will, you know, and I tell him again anyway, or to clean up the garbage that's all over your floor in your room.
Yeah.
This is now seeing, you know, like I gave him, you know.
Okay, I'm
going to
stop you for a minute. I'm going to stop you for a minute. We can come back to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just for right now, for taking aim.
Yeah.
That you want to help him do his chores that you're asking him to do in a reasonable time period.
Yes.
Okay. And what I want to offer you to think about while we're listening to everybody else is what would be involved, or not even, let me not couch it just really directly, is give him a time frame. Give him a deadline.
Okay.
So we'll come back to it, but just that simple piece of adding, because giving a deadline is a clear expectation, right? And what happens is we say we want you to do something, but we don't give him all the information. We really want him to do it by 5 o'clock, but we haven't told him that. So that 6 o'clock when he hasn't done it, we're all aggravated because he hasn't done it, but we didn't say do it by 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So a deadline is actually clear communication.
Okay.
So I'm just framing that for you, and we'll come back to it.
Okay.
So who else? Larry? Are you still here?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute.
That's okay.
Yeah, our major problem is with Lauren. She has a problem with Katie and I chewing or moving our tongue in our mouth or whatever. And a psychologist said there is an actual thing called misophonia, and there is an association for that, which we went online for. And you don't really know if it's the sound or the sight or whatever, but we're still having a big problem with her. I mean, every 5 seconds she'll tell me, stop with my mouth. And 12 years old, you know, she's getting real sassy. So we just want her to be able to accept that and ignore it somehow and not to comment on it every 5 minutes.
So let me ask you a question. Is it is it about her accepting it, or is it about her responding to it respectfully?
Responding.
Because what you're saying is you don't know whether it's therapeutically, whether it's a
true, you know, it's a true problem that she can't control. But yeah. She can control how she responds.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the latter, responding to it respectfully is basically what we need her to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay, who else?
I'll go.
This is Julie. Oh, go ahead.
Go, Julie. Julie first, go ahead, and then Jeannie.
Okay.
Okay. I'm debating between two items, so please help me. One is mom
okay.
guilt, and the other is back-talking son. I have a lot of mom guilt when it comes to going to the gym or just that I'm not home as much as I'd like to be. And the other thing is that my son has a mouth that is, you know, he's 10 and it just is continuing to get worse with the sass and the attitude and the back talk.
Right. Which one of those do you think would be
probably the back talk affects everyone. The back talk affects the whole
okay.
household. So that's something
so,
I should work on.
Well, I'm cool with that, but I do want to ask a question. If you were
sure.
getting to the gym more, would you be able to handle the back-talking situation better?
Probably.
Okay. So we're going to go. I want you to think about it, and we'll come back and check in with you. Okay? Because
okay. Thank you.
I get that what I heard was I should do that one. And whenever I hear a should, what that says to me is, yeah, but you'd rather do the other one.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
So think about it for a minute. Jeannie, let's go to you.
Would I want to take aim on my 15-year-old, he also has Asperger's and ADD, and his Asperger's, you know, he has an extremely difficult time communicating with people in general, and especially friends at school. He does go to counseling, and his counselor's helping him work on social skills, but he knows at school that there's a social skills training group, and I spoke to him about it. I said, Mikey, you have to be independent, speaking to your counselor about it, you know, and I want to encourage him to do that. And he's like, okay, I'll think about it. So that's one thing I'd love him to want to do.
I want to be clear. So you want him
okay.
to talk to the counselor about the social skills group?
Well, there's a counselor, but counselor/whatever.
What you want is for
yes.
him to have a conversation with a particular adult at school about this social skills group.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Mhm.
Great. Who else? Who did I miss? Coco, you ready to come back to you?
I just got back on the line. My call was dropped. I was so glad to come
oh,
in.
Oh, no. Sorry. We thought that wasn't going to happen when we switched to Instant Teleseminar. That's why we switched.
Well, hearing everybody else talk, I think what you're saying, something that you know, is really bothering me or something that really I feel like needs to change, and to help my son altogether, I think it would be more our daily routine, like the scheduling, the daily routine, and having clear set expectations, because I think that affects the
okay,
whole family.
Okay, so clear expectations. Let's get more specific around what part of the daily routine?
Around chores and homework.
Choose one.
Okay, homework.
Sorry. Okay, so clear expectations around homework. And is it about getting it done? Is it about getting it started? Is it about when he does it? Be even more specific.
Yeah, it's about getting it done.
Okay. And so is it about, just forgive me if I'm pushing too much, is it about you establishing clear expectations or is it about coming to agreement with each other?
I think it's about coming to an agreement. I mean, he, and maybe now as we talk, and maybe the more I talk, the more I get insight into what I'm saying myself. He's doing his homework, but the teachers have talked to me about the quality of his work. So I now that I think about it, I think it's more that and you know, doing
so
the quality work.
It's really about checking his work.
Yeah.
Okay. And remind me how old he is?
He's 15.
Okay. Great. Great. Okay. But do you hear how that went from daily routine to helping him learn how to check his work?
Yep.
Right? Which is really powerful, because when we start with something like daily routine, well, that's sort of overwhelming for all of us.
Right.
But if you can get really specific on something that needs to be changed, then you can do something about that. Right?
Right.
Not always. I mean, it's not foolproof, but it's pretty effective. So I feel like I missed somebody. I was supposed to circle back to one person. Is it Jennifer? No, I got Jennifer. Who'd I miss?
Julie's going back to mom guilt.
Julie. But Julie, I just want to make sure one thing. Did I guilt you into going back to mom guilt?
Well, yeah, guilt kind of does work on me, so maybe, but it's okay.
I want to make sure I didn't guilt you into it.
No, you didn't. It's been bugging me for a few weeks or months, so it's good.
Okay, all right. You're choosing this of your own free will, right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, did I miss anybody else? Okay. So we're going to talk for just a minute about asking for help, but I'm sure most of you have read the workbook, and you know, we all know what asking for help is. So I'm not going to talk as long about it today, because we used a lot of time to get really clear on taking aim, and I think that's so important. So I really want to open it up to a bit more of a conversation about asking for help. I'll hit a couple of highlights, right? Asking for help goes in all directions. It's about us asking for help from each other, from our spouses or partners or, you know, from our allies. It's about asking for help from our kids. And it's about teaching our kids to ask for help. And I think probably one of the most profound pieces of this conversation is modeling for our kids the whole idea that we don't, that none of us does it alone, that none of us can do anything alone, or certainly not everything alone, and that we all ask for help, and that that's part of life. You know, one of you was speaking about what, you know, your son doesn't even want the help of a list, right? Because he wants to be able to do it on his own. And I don't know whether it's a holdover from the Puritan ethic or the individualism of American society or whatever it is, but we start off as kids learning to ask for help, and then it's sort of trained out of us. It's almost like we're trained to believe we're not supposed to need it, so that by the time they're teenagers or we become adults, we feel guilty for needing something, right, for not being able to do everything on our own or everything by ourselves. So asking for help is a really critical piece, one, for yourself, because let's be honest, guys, none of us can do this alone. And two, because it really models something for our kids, and it teaches them, and a lot of you have teenagers, and in very few short years, your kids, you're no longer going to be able to advocate for them academically and medically. They are going to have to do it for themselves. So teaching them how to use the skill and that it's okay to and that they should begin to practice asking for the help that they need is a really, really valuable tool for them, for their future and for their independence. So that's really all I want to say about it today. I think it's powerfully important. I will tell you that in coaching school, asking for help is considered a coaching strategy. It's actually taught. And I think it's taught because it is so hard for people to do. So the question I want to start with is to ask you guys, what gets in the way of your asking for help? What's coming up for you?
This is Julie with the mom guilt. It's guilt. I feel partly my mom did it a certain way, and I should be able to do this. It's all those shoulds. I should. I should do this. I should do that. I should be home cooking dinner. I should. We should have a family meal together every night. We, the kids should be to school on time. Just all those things. It's the shoulds. So I think I'm supposed to handle it all, and I'm not. Who would even be willing to help me? Who would be willing to come to my house and help me cook dinner?
Right. So, because you should be able to do it on your own.
Yes.
Right. So that's the message you're telling yourself is, if I were better, I could do it all.
Correct.
Right. Is that true?
No. No, I'm a, you know, it's, part of it also for me personally is that I was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years, and now I'm working, and I started out working 3 days a week, and then it was 4, and now it's 5. And so I'm wanting to go back to the days when I was only working 3, because then it was a easier, at least in my fantasy memory, it was easier to manage everything then.
Mm-hmm. So for you, and this is going to come up in different ways for everybody, but what I'm hearing is you had this really unrealistic expectation of yourself.
Yes.
Right. And so you don't, I mean, there are sort of two things. One is you don't want to ask for help because you don't think you should need it. But then you set these expectations that's absolutely actually probably impossible to do without some help.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
What else? What else is coming up for people? Does anybody else have a similar experience to what she's describing?
Well, I could totally relate to, you know, how I grew up. We were raised to be very independent. We didn't need our parents, 7 brothers and sisters. We raised ourselves, so we should always be able to do everything on your own and run it efficiently and make everything perfect. I'm a perfectionist, which is a big problem. So, and to have kids that are a little bit harder than the norm, people don't understand that. Like, why can't you do this? You know, I had to turn down some things at my church, for instance, this last couple of weeks, and someone kind of shunned me, which I was very shocked because I said, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. I've had some back problems, and she didn't respond to an email, and I was like, wow, I guess she doesn't understand, and she has a child that has ADD, but she doesn't know anything about ADD, even though she has a child with it. And I'm like, wow, I guess I'm doing a really rotten job that I can't do all this. Like, why can't you do this? You should be part of my group, even though you have all this other stuff going on. So it makes you feel inferior, stupid, that you can't manage all the stuff, you know? And she's nothing compared to what's going on in my world, I know, you know. So it makes
right.
you feel less than.
So the messages you're telling yourself are, if I can't do it all by myself, then I'm less than. I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm not really accepting that, but I'm like, I know that's, you know, by not even emailing me back and responding to what is going on with me, why I can't do something that she wants me to do. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just can't. There's just too many other things going on. Plus, I'm, you know, part of, I'm trying to get a certified to be a health coach, and now I'm doing that online too. So there's a lot of other things going on in my life, and she won't accept it. Like, you should be able to be part of this group too. And I'm like, can't.
Well, and so part of what I'm hearing there is you're really clear about your choices, right? So
mm-hmm.
the question that comes up there for me is, what's important to you about her agreeing with your choice?
I was trying to get to know. Just started. It's a new. Uh-huh. We haven't been at church very long. Trying to be not to be part of a different women's group, whatever. And I thought it was part of a group that some ladies place together, just because my child is ADD, your child is ADD. We'll get along and we'll understand each other and support each other. Well, it didn't happen to be that way. There's no support
right.
there at all. So
right.
because she doesn't know anything about ADD, doesn't know anything, has never read anything, and I'm like, wow, she can't really understand what I'm going through, so
right.
I'm sorry, you know.
And so what I hear is that you looked to a place for help, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
the help you needed, and so you're turning and saying, that's not it, I'm going to do something else, which is
mm-hmm.
actually a, sort of another way of asking for help in a way is getting clear on what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of this is about getting really clear on where you need help and where you don't, where it could help and where it couldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those of you, I'm a big believer in asking my kids for help. You know, they want my help, I want to help them. And if we're sort of a team with each other, I've taught them to ask for help. I've been willing to help them. And so they're learning the skill, but we're sort of all in it together, right? And so whether it's housework or dishes or laundry or whatever it is, I don't want to do it any more than they do. So, you know, if to some extent, I don't have them do everything, but if to some extent we're all in it together, they begin to see me as a human being,
mm-hmm.
right, and not just the person who provides it all. And as I am offering help to them, they have a different kind of appreciation to it and vice versa, right? So in my house, if somebody spills something, you scream, towel, and everybody comes running, right? Because we're all ADD and lots of stuff gets spilled, as an example. Or there's a pile of laundry by the television, and if you want to sit and watch television and there's laundry to be folded, you have to fold the laundry, right? And those are just sort of expectations that we all pitch in and we all contribute. And those are ways that years ago I started asking for help, because when you're trying to do it all, I mean, you've pointed to it so clearly, Julie, you make yourself crazy and guilty and ultimately sick. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what value does it bring to you to ask for help, for you or for your family? What's the benefit?
Well, depending on the kind of help, probably it could bring some calm or some peace to the house.
Mm-hmm.
If we're actually going at things as a team, like the way you're describing everybody just pitching in on the laundry, then we're a team and everybody's supporting each other.
Yeah.
That's not
fostering
so
teamwork.
Much. Yeah,
love
that's
it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And what I'll say is it doesn't mean any of us necessarily like it. I'm
right.
Okay if my son grumbles while he unloads the dishwasher, as long as he's unloading the dishwasher, right? And
right.
And somebody brought this up the other day. I loved it. She said some of the best parenting advice she ever got was, you know, when your kids ask for help, help them. You know, so if he says, and I say, I really need some help getting this dishwasher unloaded before everybody leaves, you know, he may complain, like, how about I help? I'll do the top, you do the bottom, or whatever. So that there's no reason for me not to help him out if I have the time to do it. And that way, when I ask him for something, he's more inclined to help me. Right? That's
right.
What fosters the teamwork. It's not, well, it's your chore, so you should do it.
Right.
But if we recognize that a lot of these chores we're asking them to do are boring, they're dull, they're no fun, it's cold outside, you know, there's legitimate reason they don't want to do it. If we can have compassion for the gripe, right, that way we get to be on their team instead of being the one with our hands on our hips. So what's coming up? What are y'all thinking? So what I want to do before we I want to do the final four questions a little early today because I think it's useful with this. There was one more thing I wanted to share about asking for help. There's one more thing I do want to say specifically is to be cautious about asking for help for you versus what you're asking them to do for them. And this is a little shift in language, just to be aware of, particularly with the older kids. But we want to be careful not to ask them to help us with something that's their responsibility in the first place, you know. So it's one thing to say, can you help me make dinner? But it's another to say, can you help me by you know, feeding the dog when that's his job or taking out the trash when that's his job? So when you're asking for help, make sure it's really clear if it's really for you or if it's something that's just sort of part of what we do in the family. So that, and the big place to be careful is not to ask them to help you by getting his homework done, right, or something like that. That his work is his, and you can offer to help him. And when you have something, you can ask for help. But you don't want to ask for their help for something that's already their responsibility, because then it becomes yours. Is that making sense?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's look at the final four questions a little bit. We'll have a little more time to discuss them today, but I think it's useful in this particular conversation. So what do you feel like in this conversation so far you've focused on, and what clarity are you taking away? So everybody take a minute to write it down for yourself or think about it or whatever that is for you. What are you focusing on, and what's your clarity? And then we'll apply it to your challenge for the week. And when someone's ready, go ahead and share it. So what have you been focusing on? What are you thinking about in this conversation, and what clarity or aha do you have so far? Who's ready to jump in? So, Jennifer, will you share?
I'm having trouble pinpointing.
Okay.
All of this stuff. So,
Is asking for some help something that's been hard for you to do?
No. Not, I mean, usually not.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
Right.
So, just kind of trying to, you know, find.
So actually that brings up a really good point I was thinking about that I wanted to share, and that's that sometimes it's not about whether we ask for help, but it's about how,
mm-hmm.
Which sort of points to what you were talking about earlier, right? So I was on the phone with a couple earlier this morning that I'm coaching, and the mom was asking for what she wanted from the dad, but she was doing it in a way that she didn't mean to be not nice, but it wasn't very nice. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's not just what we say, but it's how we say it. So for you, what I'm hearing is that asking for help isn't the challenge, but it's doing it in a way that you get the results you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be accurate.
So, okay, which is great. All right. So there's your aha. It's not what, but how.
Okay.
Right. And so if we're looking at what action do you want to take next, right,
mm-hmm.
if your goal is to help your son do the chores that he's asked to do in a reasonable time frame, what can you see that you might do differently to get different results?
Well, maybe I should try a deadline. What I've been doing so far is doing kind of a, you know, if you do this, then you can have that type of strategy, which sometimes works really well, and other times, like right now, isn't working at all. You know, because it just depends how much he wants to do that,
whatever,
you know,
that
the thing that I'm making him wait to do until
right.
he does what he needs, you know, what I've asked him to do. And
right.
I don't know whether it's just, you know, maybe I've given him too much in his mind. Maybe that's overwhelming, so overwhelming that, you know, the end result is not worth it to him at this point. So, I
a couple questions that come up. So, actually, first is sort of a teaching point for everybody. The word if tends to put people on the defensive a little bit. If you do this, then that sort of sets
mm-hmm.
up almost a negative dynamic. So try
right.
when or after.
Well, yeah, I
after you
I
do this,
yes.
then that, right?
Right.
So he's 15. He's looking for some
right.
control. Where mm-hmm. can you give him control in this situation? So, because reasonable time period is sort of vague.
Right. I understand that. I mean, you know, if I'm asking him to like, you know, pick up the garbage in his room, I, you know, first of all, since it's out of my sight usually, if I'm not going in there, I might be a little bit more lax than, you know, pick up your dishes on the table that I'm looking at that's in the way and, you know,
mm-hmm.
so like a weekend, maybe, you know. But the weekend has now become 2 weeks.
Right.
And because it's something that's out of the way, I either tend to want to throw something else at him. Well, now you can't do that either until this is done.
Right.
Or do I just let it go? Because it's, you know, it's like, well, he'll get to it when he really wants to do the other thing. I don't know.
Well, what I'm hearing, this is a place where it may be as simple as a clear that the expectation's not quite clear enough.
Okay.
Right? Can you empty the dishwasher, clean up the stuff on the floor of your room, whatever it is?
Right.
Is 5 o'clock okay? Sound reasonable to you, or is there something else? Right? Let him say,
mm-hmm.
would you like to do this by 5 or that by 8? Give him just a little choice in the matter, right? But set a really clear expectation that he then responds to. So he's bought in. He's agreed to it. He's part of the decision.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you to pick up your room. Just the whole idea, what I like you're saying is pick up the trash off the floor of your room. That's specific.
Right.
Clean your room is not specific.
Yeah, no.
Right.
That's, I can see how that is totally overwhelming because – by the time I get to that point where I'm asking him, it's a disaster. Zone.
Exactly. So
yeah.
it's the same thing with the requests. Just as specific as you want a request to be, the same thing in terms of time and expectation. And asking for help, the other great thing is it's an opportunity to teach our kids negotiation skills. And we
well,
want them to learn to
he was born
with
negotiation skills. That's not the problem. The kid will negotiate anything, you know.
But I'm speaking to some of the other people in the room, too, because part of what happens with some of our kids, I mean, some of them are going to push back at everything we say. But if we
mm-hmm.
teach them how to negotiate an agreement with us, then they'll begin to be able to negotiate with their peers more effectively. And that can serve them well when they begin to encounter more in that realm of drugs and sex.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to say, can you do it by 5 o'clock, and have him be able to say, well, I'm in the middle of this, can I do it by 6? Great, 6 is fine, right?
Okay.
That ability, that little bit of negotiation can be a great skill for all of them,
mm-hmm.
particularly some of the kids who do not have that tendency towards litigating everything, which some of our kids are really good at.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what's the action you want to commit to today?
So I want Kyle to do his chores within a time period that we come to together.
Great. Okay. So will you commit to making sure you're clear about
what the time frame is for him for each specific chore.
Yes.
And when you ask him to do things in the future, make sure to put a time frame associated with it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Cool. Who else? Coco, what's coming up for you?
I knew you were going to pick on me. Well, the more we talked about help, I think my problem is not asking for help with health stuff. Like, I'm good about asking help with anything, you know, having to do with me personally, but health stuff, I do a lot, and then I get, like, it said, you know, you get frustrated and you get overwhelmed. So that's what came up for me is I is asking, kind of doing what you said of being more of a team and feeling more like a team at home. So in that sense, it's really hard for me to ask for help for my kids or my husband because I feel like it's my responsibility and I should do it. And that all came up in the last 5 minutes.
All right.
So,
well, that's anyway. A great awareness for you to have. So, and when you check it against reality, is it all your responsibility and should you be doing it all?
Well, that's what I've always told myself, and that's kind of how
I know.
You know, and that's how my mom
But if I told you that, if I told you that I had a job and I had 3 kids and I feel like I should do everything at home and manage my job, what would you say to me?
Well, I would say include everybody.
Okay.
It's easy when you're telling someone else, isn't that true?
I know.
Yeah.
No, I know it is.
That was my big aha, is that, you know,
right.
I'll just do it. I don't ask. I don't complain. I just do it. So, but it does get overwhelming, and then I wonder why I'm stressed out.
Exactly.
So
I want to offer 2 things to that. One is, and this is a true story, when I got married, my father-in-law took me aside and apologized to me. And I said, why? And he said, because when David was younger, I thought it was easier to just do it myself, so I didn't expect him to do anything around the house.
Yep.
And it was just easier to do it myself. And it's true. I mean, he was an ADD kid at a time when ADD was not diagnosed. And I'm sure he was a pain in the neck of the kid. He's a pain in the neck of the husband sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But literally, that's his dad was aware enough to realize that he had done it to him and ultimately to me. So he wasn't doing me any – you're not doing their future spouses any favors, right?
Oh, yeah. No, and when the moment in the moment when I see it, I'm like, okay, I don't want you to do this to your
wife. You don't want them to grow up feeling entitled to have the world serve them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? You want them to grow up owning and having participation in what they're doing.
Yes.
So, and that mama guilt, particularly when you go back to work, and I'm there because I did it, and I remember the first time sitting down and having a family meeting and saying, okay, gang, things are different around here. You no longer have a mom. The good news is you no longer have a mom who's going to hover over everything you do. So there's your benefit. The downside is you got to do more chores. You know? And it was the best thing that ever happened to my family. Because my kids, they may not like it. I don't like it. I don't really care if they like it. But they get it.
Right.
And long term, that's what you're really looking for.
Yep.
So I just invite you to that perspective, that particularly for those of us who are working moms, the best gift you can give your children long term is to engage them in the process of helping around the house.
I have to get off the call, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. So anyone else, I don't want to shut anybody down. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to share what your aha is or what your commitment is this week.
Well, I have an aha, but I know that what I focus on is not the same as the clarity. What I took away is something you recently said, Elaine, was make sure what you're doing is not asking when they're asking for help. It's not something that you're asking for help for something they should be doing anyhow. You know, well, for instance, my son has a cat, a 15-year-old has a cat, and he's been very poor about getting up and taking responsibility and putting him in the morning. I'm an early bird. I get up early. And when we first got him, I took care of him because I got up early. But now I don't do that anymore. 3 o'clock in the morning, the cat is crying all morning for an hour. No one, it didn't bother anyone but me, and I did not feed him. My husband ended up waking up my son, pounding on his door, and getting him up at 3 in the morning to feed the cat, which is very early. My son does not want to take responsibility. So he still doesn't get it that he has to get up early, has to feed the cat. It shouldn't be 3 o'clock. I don't know why this cat wants at 3 o'clock in the morning. He bothers us to wake up and you feed him. So I've taken on too much responsibility with that. Now I'm like trying to give it back to my son, but he doesn't want it. He doesn't even want the responsibility to feed him that early, but he does when he gets home.
Well,
so
it's not a the truth is that's not a reasonable expectation for anybody to have to wake up at 3 in the morning or 5 in the morning to feed a cat.
I know.
So part of it is retraining the cat to eat on normal.
Yep, and that's what we're trying to do. It's at 5 o'clock. I'm like, we're not until 5 o'clock.
And you know, and it may be that you make a deal with him that, you know, for a while I'll feed him first thing in the morning, you feed him at, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening so we can get him on a schedule. That's a great example of showing him how you're willing to help and work with him, but it's still his job.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, my son's job is to feed the dog, and he sleeps in on the weekends and then comes in. It's like, did someone feed the dog? You know, like he gets that it's his job. I'm trying to teach him to remember to ask who did it, you know. And to make sure. But it's okay if I say, no, don't worry about it. I got it. I fed him. Because I want to be helpful. Because that way he'll be helpful to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if what you've got, actually, the dynamic there gives you an opportunity to sit down with your son and say, I want to help you get your cat back on a schedule that works for you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that puts it back on him. It's his job. And you're willing to help him figure out how to make his job work for him.
Yeah, he doesn't even want to think about that. And I keep on pushing the cat back to 5 o'clock. I'm like, nope, we're not going to feed him until 5 o'clock. And he'll cry for 2 hours until, you know, I told Mike,
so
I will feed him at 5,
but
not
earlier.
You're
going to have to figure it out with him, and it may be that you do half an hour increments for a while. But you have an opportunity here to put it back, to make it his job that you're offering to help with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And letting him take the responsibility and helping him be successful with it.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Who else? Larry? Or Jennifer?
We did mine.
Oh, we did yours. Leslie. Mm-hmm. We didn't do.
I think how I ask for help is probably a good area to focus on. I'm pretty good at asking for. I have some support systems. I mean, this is an area I've worked on for a long time. I've banished the perfectionist in me, and I have a couple of trusted friends that, you know, I can talk about anything and it stays in the vault, and I respect
awesome.
them. I respect their, you know, their wisdom and their experience and that kind of stuff, and you know, and I'm in the group, same I think Jennifer mentioned, you know, that's why I'm here. But when it comes to my husband and my immediate family, I probably, that's where I kind of fall. And, now my husband's son, he's taken over the school. Patrick is reporting to him and no longer to me. And that's been just an awesome relief for me because I've been doing it for years. And they can fight. I'm not fighting anymore. I got to the point where I didn't care what happened to him and his diploma. But so I think being clear and then also accepting the fact that I'm probably going to have to ask for everything that I want. And I'll have to ask for it every time I want it. And I wish some people, I would like for some things to be taken, you know, off my plate where I don't even have to think about it anymore, but I don't think that's going to happen. So,
well, it may not be realistic, but you can be working towards that.
Yes.
Right. So create that as your future vision and take what are the steps to get there. And the first step is asking for it. And I'm a firm believer that if you don't ask for what you want, you're less likely to get it.
Right.
I mean, it's not 100%, but you know, you go to a restaurant, you ask for, can I have that table, right? You know? They're going to put you at the one by the waiter station unless you ask for the one you want.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, great. Anybody else? Larry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've always had trouble asking for help and asking for what I want. So you kind of opened my eyes a little bit for me personally. But,
is there
something
particular
also,
you want to focus on?
Well, yeah, what I'm focusing on with Lauren, I never really thought about it the way your answer was to responding to, for her to respond to it more respectfully rather than just try and not to respond to it at all. So we're going to have to try that out and see how it works.
Great. Yeah, and I think that goes back to the how. It's like there's what we're asking for and there's how we're asking for it. And so what she wants is to not be annoyed by it. And, you know, and y'all having compassion that it annoys her will help. How she communicates it, she can still be respectful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I often say to my kids, particularly at that age, do you have a different way to say that, or do you have a nicer way to say that?
Yeah, that's what we try to do, but she just...
It's hard.
...says no.
Yeah.
But we'll work on it.
Yeah. So did I feel like I missed somebody. Did we get everybody today? Cool. All right, everybody. You have your marching orders to go out and ask for help and be really clear and articulate very specifically what your expectations are and do it in a way that is respectful of others and empowers them to be respectful of you and to foster the team environment in your homes. And I have posted something on the Facebook forum, and I would encourage you all to go in and respond to it. I posted a piece after my call earlier this week to say, what are your commitments? What are you committing to do to ask for help over the next 2 weeks? And it's a place for you to post your comments and your commitments and your progress. So I really encourage you to use the forum this week as an opportunity to hold yourself accountable to it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a fabulous couple of weeks, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.